Who's getting tired of the book of Deuteronomy? Well, at least one of you is getting tired. I saw one. Who's getting tired of the book of Deuteronomy? Okay, only a couple. Not bad. Okay? Who knows the main point of the book of Deuteronomy? She's got it. She's saying it over there. The main point of the book of Deuteronomy is this: keep the commands of God and you will be blessed. Break the commands of God and you will be cursed. Now, I'm just going to make it real clear to you, the curse is not the loss of salvation or relationship with God. That's not what we're talking about here. The curse for the children of God, who are still the children of God, whether they obey or disobey, the curse is that you lose the blessing which comes from obedience. See, biblically speaking, the law of God is a good thing. Now, let me just repeat that because it's up there, right? It's behind me. Yeah? You're not participating with me. In the black church, I'd say, I can't get any help. Okay, come on. Let's get going here. We're going to move in the Spirit together today. It's right up there, right? The law of God is a good thing. The Bible actually sees the law of God as an act of God's grace. See, he did not give us the law to deny us the pleasures of life. He gave us the law so that we might enjoy to the fullest all of life's blessing. See, the law embodies God's love, and it embraces an ethic which brings peace. The law of God establishes, number one, a culture of peace. If the people of the world truly lived life according to the law which God gave us through Moses, there would be no war. If the people of the earth lived the law of God personally, in their personal lives, interpersonal aggression between us would cease. The law of God promotes a culture of peace. And secondly, the law of God establishes the full potential of the individual. Under the law, each person is enabled to become everything that God intends for him or her to be. Because following, keeping the law brings God's full blessing into each person's life. So the law of God is not a small thing. In fact, the rights of nations and the dignity of every human being, the right to peace and the pursuit of happiness, respect and compassion are theological in origin, and they cannot and never will be resolved politically. If humankind continues to refuse to acknowledge the sovereignty of God, the world will be as it is now. See, all things find their resolution in God. To deny that brings upon our kind the curse of sin, from which we cannot escape except through Jesus Christ. Keep the commands of God, and you will be blessed. Break the commands of God, and you will be cursed. That is the message of the book of Deuteronomy. And that is the problem with our world. We break the law of God. We refuse to acknowledge him as sovereign creator of the universe. Some of us are so bold as to say he doesn't even exist. And most of us ignore him. And then we wonder why our nation, our world, our families are cursed. Now today, we are beginning the end of the book of Deuteronomy, what the great scholars of the church call the epilogue of the giving of the law. God had finished the recitation of the law to Moses, and Moses had told the people what the law of God was. And now, in our study of the book of Deuteronomy, we are moving from the recitation of the law into the living of the law. So Moses, the elders of Israel, and the people of the nation were summoned by God to a great covenant signing ceremony on Mount Ebal. Now, I get tired of hearing people talk about our covenant signing. Okay? Covenant signing goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Will you please stop arguing with God about signing a covenant and agree with the Lord? It is what he has done throughout his involvement with humankind. You want me to tell you why? Because we can't be trusted to keep our word, can we? Okay? Given a chance, we'll all lie. We'll break our word. We'll find a way around it. We'll do it our way because that's our nature. So God says, okay, I want some sign from you that you understand what we're agreeing to, and that requires you to go through a ceremony by which you sign the covenant. Give up, folks. Surrender to the way God does things, because it is the pathway to blessing. God does not force. Instead, God compels. So the people of God, the nation of Israel, had to choose of their own free will to be bound to God or not to be bound to him. And the people couldn't keep the choice a secret. They had to declare for God or again God. The people had to declare their choice. Would they follow the law, or would they seek to find their own way, to do life in the way which seemed best to them? The purpose of the covenant signing ceremony was to give the people the right to choose blessing or curses. The ceremony at Mount Ebal began with the orders of God concerning the day itself. It was to happen on the day when at last they moved across the Jordan into the promised land, and it was theirs. It was to happen on the day when they received what God had promised. The land was the great promise of God. If Israel would follow him, he said, he would lead them to a land of blessing, a land which flowed with milk and honey. So when Israel had received the land, which was the blessing of God, they were to take 7 huge stones, and they were to set them up on Mount Ebal. They were to cover them with white plaster. And then they were to write on them in their clearest and finest handwriting all the commands which God had given them. When they had finished setting up the stones and writing the law on the white plaster, they were to build an altar of undressed stone. That is, stone which would reflect the beauty of God and of God's creation, because no man had worked on it. It was in itself the stone as God had made it. And then the people of God were commanded to shut up and listen. That is the problem with people. It is the problem with our world today. People are always talking. All day long on that box in the corner of your living room, somebody is talking. On that thing you put in your lap, people are constantly talking. On the thing you hold to your ear and call smart, people are talking. Can I just do this? You're going to forgive me because I don't mean to put you down, but you listen to me. Last night, when you did not come to the house of the Lord so that God could bless you through the worship that happened here, there was somebody on some box talking to you, wasn't there? And because you wouldn't shut up and come to the house of the Lord and listened, you missed the blessing of God. Those who were here, am I telling them the truth? Yeah. You know what happened last night? The Holy Spirit of God fell on the little boys in the house. And the little boys were moved by the Holy Spirit to worship God through singing and dancing and even prophesying. Okay? We sang that song, Run Devil, Run Devil, Run. And that little boy standing right there who was stomping with his right foot on the head of Satan while we were singing that song. And God bless him. And you didn't see it because you were home talking. It is the problem with the world. We discuss the nations of the problems of the nations. We investigate the problems of life. I heard a guy on television this morning. Before I came here, he was talking to him. You know what he said? Life is not always good. Okay, and it was on a show called Worship. You know why life is not always good? Because we don't live it God's way. We talk about it all the time. They tell you on those things, the way to blessing, according to whomever it is you happen to be listening to at the moment. No one ever shuts up anymore to hear the voice of the Lord. You with me? It is time for the world, or at least for us, the people of God, to shut up and to listen again to the word of the Lord. You hearing me? He wants to show you the pathway to blessing. It is revealed in his word, but he won't force you. You got to shut up. Stop being too busy to listen to the voice of the Lord and resolve in your own heart for your own life that you will walk according to the word of God. On that day, when Israel was still, when they had stopped talking, Moses, the great prophet of God, lifted his hands and blessed them. See, if you're talking and you're center stage, God will not force you to receive his blessing. He'll let you stand there and be the show. To feel the blessing of God, you need to get still in your soul and let the Holy Spirit wash over you. The people of God need to shut up and to listen to the still, small voice of our all-powerful God. And then after the blessing, Moses pronounced 11 curses on the people. Things that the people of God must not do, because if you did them, things in your life would go badly for you. Penalties for violations of these things are contained in the law itself. But in this chapter of the book of Deuteronomy here, the curses are general, a general reminder. There is no specific punishment announced with them. The purpose of the list of 11 curses is simply to list behaviors that the people of God simply reject. The first one is not coming to worship God. And all of the others are equally practical. The purpose is that these are some of the things that God, the sovereign ruler of the universe, simply will not tolerate. They're outlined in the law of God. And if you insist upon doing them, God cannot and will not bless you. And because God is always fair in all of his dealings with us, he tells us up front. There are no tricks with God. Nothing is hidden. God lays it all out so that we can decide. If you want his blessing, here it is. You do this and you get blessed. But there's no dealing. You do the things that he says you should not do, and blessing will be denied. You may not like it, but it's God's way or no way to blessing. That's what the ceremony at Ebal is all about. God is laying it out, giving his people the right to choose blessings or to choose curses. His way brings blessing upon blessing. The other way pulls you away from God and denies you blessing upon blessing. Blessing. So God says to the people of Israel, here it is. Pick to be blessed or to be cursed. So what do we do with that today on this particular Sunday in the year? Well, here it comes. I'm going to say it again. I said it earlier. The rights of nations and the dignity of every human being, the right to peace and the pursuit of happiness, respect and compassion, are theological in origin and cannot be politically resolved. Now, you want me to interpret that? If you think the government is going to bless you, if you think a treaty is going to solve the problem in Israel, okay, if you think that political solutions are going to work out the problems of our life, you need to be disabused of the idea and get your head on right. It's theological. Until we shut up and listen to the sovereign Lord who created the universe and resolve as a people to live life his way, we will not know blessing in the land. What we will continue to experience is the cursing of God, his rejection of our way, and God help our children. What does the future hold for them if this generation does not come back to the Lord? Now, Tuesday is election day. And most of you were thinking you were going to stay home because it's just a primary, right? But the answer to our problem is not political, it's theological. And if we don't bring to bear on the political life of our nation the theological things that we profess we believe when we come to the Lord's table, the nation will not turn and we will not be blessed. The solution to what's going on in our land is not political. It is theological. It is time for this nation to listen. Can I tell you the truth? I believe that there are enough people who believe what I am saying to you today to turn things around if we would just move together to push the word of the Lord. Now, if you're having doubts about what I'm saying, just take a moment and ask yourself where all the noise of the age has gotten us. We as a nation have wandered away from the word of the Lord. We don't do life God's way. We're doing it our own way. We're in essence making it up as we go along. We're doing what the Bible says seems right to a man. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Whether you like it or not, it is not working. It's time for each of us to choose to be blessed or to be cursed. It is time for us as a nation to begin again to live the Bible and to vote the Bible for ourselves as individual people. It's time to offer a sacrifice, to lay it down, as we sang earlier today, to decide whether what we really want is the blessing of God or curses. Now, I'm going to tell you the first choice is a name. And that name is Jesus. Okay, I'm telling you the truth. Okay, see, God said in his word that Jesus is the way, the truth, life. No one gets to the Father except they come to him through Jesus. You hearing me? Okay, it is the word of God. It's right there in the book. God wrote it down so you would know. So if you're saying, no, I'm going to get to God my own way. I'm going to find my own way to God's blessing. I'm going to work it out. Heck with that Jesus stuff. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. I'm rich. I can just do it. What you just did was choose curses. And the curse of not choosing Jesus is eternal life without God. You pick. God won't force. If indeed what you want is a life which is filled with blessing, then you got to stop doing life your way and start doing life God's way. And the first step is to say yes to Jesus.